Good morning. Thank you for three of you that are still awake. I love it. Hey, just so you know, we have coffee in the back. It's ready. It's hot. You won't offend me or bother me at all. If you want to get some coffee during mid-service, go for it. And if you want to top mine off, that'd be great also. I'm joking, but if you did, that'd be amazing. today, we're... Wow, that's awesome, Miranda. Thank you so much. How cool is that? We are in between kind of this two sermon series, and I didn't want to start the next sermon series, our real summer sermon series, in the middle of VBS. If you didn't notice, there's a giant cave behind me. This is our new average. This is our permanent set design. We love it. Thanks, Miranda. And so VBS, the kids, I love seeing the kids come in here and see the all the setup in the caves. London, my daughter, walks in and she's like, wow. And Ollie runs up the first thing, whoa. He was so excited. And so we're going to have this set up next Sunday also, as we have VBS Sunday and the kids get to show us some of the dance moves and some of the things they learned, and it's going to be wonderful. Then just letting you know, after that, we are starting our next sermon series going through the book of Nehemiah. And we're looking at the book of Nehemiah as an illustrative look as the Holy Spirit, just because they have the same name in the Greek and Hebrew. I just thought it was really interesting. So, but today, I have a message that had been rolling around in my spirit for a while, and it's called "The Doctor Is In." Thanks for the Peanuts reference. I don't know who told me that, but yeah, Lucy. Now that's all I have in my mind. The Doctor Is In. I was really thinking about a great example to look at God is through the eyes of a surgeon. It's just such a interesting viewpoint. If you look at what a surgeon does, a lot of it is what God does in our lives as a believer. He craves the best life for us. He desires longevity in his worshiping creation. And so I was looking at really the three points of a surgeon. Has anyone ever had surgery? Who, like, just absolutely just loved going in and, like, going under? You, really? You loved it? Wow.
I like the countdown.
You're the first one. 10, 9, out.
I got to 93.
You got to 93. Wow.
Yeah, down from 100.
Oh, I thought you counted up to 93.
Oh,
I was
no,
like, that's impressive.
Back from 100.
So three aspects of a surgeon. You have the diagnosis, you have the procedure, and you have the recovery. So those are the three points today. I just want to go through of what that looks like to a believer. So if you have your bulletins, go ahead and fill it out. If you don't have a bulletin, can you stick your hand up really quick? And Jay will hook you up with a bulletin, or Jacob, one or the other. So number one, diagnosis. Diagnosis. In the medical field, doctors look at three things to identify or diagnose what's going on with you. So I want to suggest today that in every aspect of your life, step back and diagnose what's happening. So if something's blocking you from your next level, or you feel like you're just stuck. Have you ever felt that where you feel like you want to go to the next level of your relationship with God, and you just feel like you're in that zone, like you're not where you used to be, but you're not where you should be. You feel like, ugh, I just want to go up the stairs and get to my next level. Well, I want to suggest diagnose where you're at. When emotions rise up, find the source of that emotional outburst. Diagnose why you feel the way you do. When you have no clue of the purpose of your life, you might need a diagnosis for what you're supposed to do. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it'll be on the screen. If you have your Bibles, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Okay. We understand we need to identify sometimes when we're just stuck. We need a diagnosis, if you will. Like if you go into the doctor and you go in and you're like, something's wrong with my leg. It's purple and blue and twice the size. The doctor's not going to go, man, that must be painful. Well, I'll see you later. Can you give me $700 now? No, he wants a diagnosis, right? When you have an issue or problem going on, or just maybe it's not a problem, you just want to get to the next level, diagnose how to get there. Find out what's going on with me. So I looked up on some medical journals. Three ways a great surgeon can diagnose the issue. And it's interesting because they turn over for spiritual principles. So how to diagnose? These are my micro points inside of my points. A, look at symptoms. Symptoms. If you keep hitting the same cap in your life emotionally, well, why? If you just get flared up and just get so angry around a certain person, why? There might be some unforgiveness there. What is the symptom going on? I love this example. Have you ever had a spider web in your house and it's just there and then you like knock it down with a broom and then the next day it's there again? And then you knock it down with the broom and the next day and you just keep knocking out. Eventually you just don't care anymore, right? But the correct thing is the spider web is the symptom to the cause, which is the spider. I want to allude and kind of give you this idea that if something keeps rising up, emotions, or you're hitting the next level, or something is going on in your life, those are symptoms for a root cause. Diagnose what's happening in your life. What's the first thing? Symptoms. The second thing is history. History. A surgeon will always ask, what's your medical history? What's your family been through? Do you have high blood pressure? Does your dad have high blood pressure? Does blah, blah. They look at the history, the track marks. Because if they can see where you came from, they can understand where you're at. Likewise, a lot of times when we have situations in our life, we're just having problems or just stuck in our life. Sometimes it's from our history. It's from our past. One of the major things that to look at as a pastor to talk to someone about is if they're really dealing with an issue right now, ask about the past in regards to that. Is there something about a family member that hurts you in your past that we need to deal with first before moving on from your present? Jesus brought forgiveness, and you know that verse, forgive others so I can forgive you. A lot of times we can have unforgiveness settling in our spirit that prevents us from moving forward in current situations. And C, the third thing a surgeon will look at is patterns. Patterns. What kind of patterns do you have? Patterns. Are there repetitions that you're stuck in or areas that you keep repeating over and over and over and over? Oftentimes, there's a key that you need to unlock to move past that pattern. I didn't put this in my notes, but I just want to share on this. Remember when Jesus sent the two disciples to free the donkey before they walked triumphantly into the city? There was two things that happened with that donkey. There was a change of ownership to loose it, and then relocating that donkey from that owner out. So the donkey was so, it said it was tied up on a pole and it kept circling over and over and over. They changed the ownership saying, Jesus now owns it, but we're relocating it. What am I trying to get at here? Jesus has freed you and changed ownership of your bondage, your past, your history, and everything else. But it's your choice to move forward with Jesus or to stay in the same thing. God has freed you, but it's your choice to move forward. Patterns. Is there a pattern that you're just stuck inside of? Identify that. I love this. Oftentimes, God will nudge you from comfort to uncomfortable to frustration because when you are frustrated, you will do something about it. I gave this illustration a while ago, but have you ever gotten like a rock in your shoe? That's like the living worst, right? And it doesn't go out until you take off your shoe and you take the time to get it out. The more it bothers you, the sooner it will be taken out. If it's just like a little tiny speck and it's just irritable, but you're still like working or you're doing something, you're like, it's fine. It'll roll to the edge. It'll roll to the edge. But the longer it stays there and the bigger it is, the more frustration sits inside of you until you stop and do something about it. You know, oftentimes in church, we can sit there and be comfortable. And it's finally something that will just be a little uncomfortable. And it's like, oh, this really bothers me. And then it'll start getting deeper and deeper. And it's like, this frustrates me. Because, man, instead of just being frustrated, say, I think I'm going to do something about this now. I want to talk to Pastor Matt. Maybe we can partner together. Because if this is so frustrating, maybe God has put this on my heart to work on this. God craves that you jump on board what he's already doing. I have a pastor friend named Dale Jenkins, and he had a dream once, and it was one of my, he shared this dream with me, and it was one of my favorite dreams, spiritual dreams he's ever shared and I've ever heard from someone. And it just really changed my viewpoint on churches. I shared this probably 2 years ago. It's been a long time, but I was preparing this message and just came to the surface and reminded me to put this in. But Dale Jenkins, he had this dream where he was on this huge cruise ship, and it was a flagship out in the ocean. It was just going along, and he was a pastor of it, and he was a cruise director, and he was running around from each person, and it's like, oh, can I fluff your pillow? Can I get you another hot chocolate? And run to the next person. How's the shuffleboard today? More sand? And he's going back and forth in this dream, and then all of a sudden he realized that he was making everyone feel as comfortable as possible on this cruise ship, and then he started hearing this faint sound. He was like, what is that? And he started looking around rather than just looking at the surroundings. And he noticed it was perfectly sunny on this cruise ship. And then at the edge of the ship, it was just pouring and storms and chaos and just craziness. And he got to the edge and he kept hearing something. And he said, in my dream, I got closer and closer. And I started hearing screams and cries. And he noticed, he looked down and he saw people on life preservers just floating by screaming for help. And he started panicking. He's like, what? What's going on? And he started throwing down ropes and he was trying to pull people up, and he shifted from making everyone feel comfortable to rescuing people that needed help. And he started pulling them on board, and then he started calling for help and getting more people on the ship to help get these people out of the water. And he woke up and he said, that was my realization that I've been pastoring wrong for 20 years. I realized I've been trying to make people feel comfortable in church rather than going after the people that need it and giving a mission for people on the boat. Wow. He said, my job isn't to make you feel comfortable. It's to get the mission of God in you. The mission of God. I want to challenge you. Maybe that struck a chord. Maybe that you had that realization of, this whole time I've been after myself, of feeling comfortable in my situation when there are thousands of lives passing on the side. How can I jump on this mission that God's already part of? Diagnose. It all goes back to that, the great surgeon. Is there areas in your life that are preventing you from jumping on board with the mission of God? What is it? What do you need to self-evaluate? What's distracting you? What's preventing you from that? Number two, procedure. Procedure. Once something is identified and diagnosed, the work can begin. In most medical journals I looked at, the doctor will always try to diagnose beforehand, before doing exploratory surgery and just cutting open someone. They want to identify precisely where something's happening, why it's happening. They want to look at everything about that aspect. If it's about the leg, they want to see inside of it. They want to do stuff so that when they open it up, the recovery time is so minimal. They want to correctly proceed on that. I found this quote by his name is Henny, not Henry, but Henny Youngman. Said, when I told my doctor I couldn't afford an operation, he offered to Photoshop my x-rays. I thought it was hilarious, but I guess not. So, man, have you ever felt that? Like, I don't want to go through the cost of God working on my life fully. So God, can you just touch up and Photoshop the aspect that's a little bit easier than actually doing what you want me to do? Have you ever? I've been in that boat. I hope I'm not the only one. God, the cost is too great. Being a pastor, when I was at the last church, it was my job to go around to the hospitals and pray for anyone who had surgeries, operations, anything like that. And I got very acquainted with all the hospitals, and I'm kind of a weird individual. And I started like identifying like which hospitals were like the nice ones, which ones had like the, you know, and I started like looking at different hospitals. And so when I found out someone was at one, I'm like, I'll pray for you even harder today. I'm just kidding, but kind of true. And when I prayed for people, I noticed that the number one thing to pray for someone before an operation or procedure was just nervousness. Nervousness. That was like, the word was peace. I would always come with as many scriptures memorized in peace beforehand. Just let's pray over peace in your life. And after surgery, they're like, man, that prayer made my day. I hung on to the scriptures, what you prayed. When I was going under, I felt so nervous, but thank you. And I really thought about that. Why are people nervous before surgery? Why are people nervous before a procedure? And I identified three things. A lack of control. Everyone who said amen, it was like, hello. Uncertainty. And worried about failure. The three things, oftentimes the same things, prevent people from allowing God to work on their lives. They're scared to give control to God. There's an uncertainty of what will happen, and they're worried they might fail. Did it just get real right now? So I wrote out three ways to fight nervousness, and it's just the opposites of those three things. So for A, instead of a lack of control, it's about submission. Do you know the word submission? Oftentimes it's seen as such a negative or bad word, but submission, broken down, it's just sub and mission. That's where the roots are, sub and mission. Sub meaning come under, like submarine or submerge, or other sub words I can't think of. Subsidize, subway. There we go, okay. Subway under this, okay, anyways. Sub, and then mission, meaning mission, or vision, or purpose, or a goal, or agenda. Coming under a purpose. When you feel like there's a lack of control in your life, you need to come and submit to God. Come under the purpose that he has for you. Because you will no longer deal with submission issues. You will no longer feel like you're no longer in control. Because if you allow God to be in control, it's easy. It's up to God. It's not my control. It's his control. And for those of you who are like the type A personalities of, I need to be in control of everything, God's really working on you with that. Give it up to him. Number two. The second out of the three things that make us nervous to allow God to fully proceed in our lives. Number two, the combat of uncertainty is trust. Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I really like this verse just because it has this idea. Some people trust in chariots. Well, we don't have chariots. Some people trust in horses. A couple people have horses. I don't. But we trust in God. You know what they represent? Chariots. It's the man-made protection. Chariots were what you hopped into, and when arrows and darts and spears were thrown at you, it's what protected you in war. So it says, don't trust in what you have made yourself to protect you. And then horses, you know what they represent in this verse? They're the thing that will take you to where you're supposed to be. Don't trust in what you have provided for yourself to take you where you're supposed to go. It says trust in God. Does that make sense? It's really alluding to, don't put your trust in what you have provided for yourself. Put your trust in God. When you're uncertain with this life, you'll stay in uncertainty if you keep trusting in what you're supposed to be trusting in versus trusting in God. And C, worried about failure. I think that's a huge one. Stepping out. So many times we have fear just because of we're afraid we might fail. Yep. Not because we've started and it's looking like it's failing. People are afraid to even start because there might be a failure. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You're going to fail 100% of times of the things you don't try. You already are failing by not even trying. I know that sounds like rude, but I hope that it's an encouragement. I 100% will fail if I don't do it, but there's only a slim chance I might fail if I step out and actually try for it. However, God says, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." John 16, 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Did you know the verse about more than conquerors? We are more than conquerors. You've heard that verse before, right? Do you know that concept, that idea is this? This is the exact translation understood in our demographic today. Okay, let's say who watches like UFC? It's UHC, UFC, the fighting?
UFC.
UFC, okay. Apparently, I watch it a lot. They go inside the match, they fight, and they walk out like, ooh, he's going to be hurting tomorrow. You know, like those. Do you know, a conqueror is someone who goes into the cage, fights, wins, and walks out victorious. That's a conqueror. But do you know when the Bible says more than conqueror? It talks about a marriage between the conqueror and the benefactor. So what I mean by that is a more than conqueror is like the agent or the wife of the conqueror that goes in and wins. So God is saying, you stand at the side and watch me win. And when I win, you reap the benefits. You get all the perks from me winning. That's what a more than a conqueror means. It's not that you're going in and getting bloodied and fighting this horrible battle. God's saying, no, I'm fighting the battle. You just got to show up to the ring. Don't sit at your home and be in comfort. Jump in your car, fight the traffic, and get here because you're going to be victorious too. That's what a more than conqueror means. Found this quote. Mark Skuzin. Sterling, do you know Mark Skuzin? He was an auditor for Hurricane Katrina. I just was wondering if you heard his name. He was an auditor for Hurricane Katrina because they found out that major fraud was going into the finances that were going over there. So fraud is common when you give away billions. Fraud related to Hurricane Katrina spending is estimated to top $2 billion. So not that $2 billion were sent to Hurricane Katrina. That was just fraud, $2 billion. They're still tracking this down. In addition to debit cards provided to hurricane victims were used to pay for Caribbean vacations, NFL tickets, Dom Perignon champagne, and the list just keeps going on of things they found so far. What are the finances being spent on? Lavish living or recovering? The reason why I put this quote in a seemingly random location is this. God has already paid the price for you. Will you spend it on growing or using it elsewhere? See, the funds have already been purchased. They've already been transferred, but how you spend it is up to you, whether it's fraudulent or for purpose. Does that make sense? Okay. Number three, recovery. Recovery. It's said in a lot of people who've had surgery, the surgery is the easy part, but the recovery is the hard part. The easy part is just showing up and allowing God to work, right? The mindset of showing up is hard, but then the recovery is the hardest part because it's living the new normal. It's identifying who you are now rather than going back to who you used to be. If you have a spinal surgery to recover walking, it's in recovery, you're trying to relearn your muscles of how you now stand up, how you walk, how you move around. The recovery is finding the new normal of how the doctor has corrected you to be. It's a painful time adjusting to the new normal after an operation. I looked up some more medical journals on recovery patterns. The top ways how to recover. You ready for this? Three ways to recover properly. Just listen to these, and they're going to switch over in just a second. So first, picture this. You have to show up, identify what's going on in your life, allow God to work on that aspect of your life, and then you have to deal with after God has worked on it. So that makes sense? That's the timeline of a believer. So three ways. Eat right for recovery. That's just what doctors say. Don't eat dumb stuff. I'm just dumb it down right now. Don't eat dumb stuff. Eat right for recovery. So how does that work for us spiritually? What you consume and allow into your life will drastically enable you or hinder you. What you allow into your life. Prevent people speaking negatively or gossiping to you. Be careful what you watch and listen to. It's a consumption. What are you allowing into your heart? What are you allowing into your mind? After God has worked on your life and you stepped up, you took that faith step, allowed God to operate on your life, and then you show up afterwards and you allow the same junk back in? Be careful with that. What are people speaking into your life about? B, make every follow-up appointment. Has anyone have surgery and then had follow-up appointments? And like where you have to, what's it called when you have to like do your arms and like stretch it out? What's that? Physical therapy. Has anyone ever skipped every physical therapy session? You did? Oh my goodness. I was hoping no one raised their hand. Can you not? Let me ask that. No, just kidding. That's, wow. I know when I talked to Bernie was like, his physical therapist like knew Bernie well. He was in physical therapy a lot, but he's doing better. He's doing so much better. Make every follow-up appointment. Are you spending time with the great physician after surgery? How are you following up? God craves our worship and delights in our prayers. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what you think they understand will be taken away from them. Make every follow-up appointment. Spend as much time with God as you can after he works on you. C, exercise. Exercise. My wife's face right now. I said exercise. She goes, exercise. Okay, this is kind of, I know it's church, but I'm going to say it anyways. So this is straight out of the medical journal. Doctors want patients to start moving as soon as possible to prevent blood clots and get bowels moving. Thanks for laughing, Janelle. So check this out. A lack of movement prevents blood to... Wait, I wrote this in wrong. Movement will allow blood to permeate the entire body. And when you don't have movement or you have a lack of movement, the blood gets stale and it sits there for a while and starts clotting up. So doctors, their big concern is that you start moving right away, because the more blood flow you have, the faster the recovery. God desires you to be active and exercising your faith to get the blood of Christ to permeate every aspect of your life. Did you know when... we had caterpillars in our house into butterflies. Has anyone ever done that with like kids or just randomly? You just like, you know, when they're in their little cocoons and then they break out, they have to like sit there for like an hour or something to dry out. Do you know why they have to dry out? Because when they fit inside the cocoon, their wings were all folded up and they had to they're so compact in there that there's no blood inside the wing. So when the wings spread out, not only is it drying, but the blood inside the body has to permeate every aspect of the wing in order to take flight. They can't take off until the blood has gone into every aspect of their body. So what am I getting at here? When God works on us, there's a time frame where we won't understand the next level we're at yet. We're unable to transition into the fullness that God has for us until we start exercising and working out to allow Christ to work in every aspect of that. Caterpillar has made it into the next level, but can't comprehend how to fly until its blood has fully permeated its life. So, next thing, the doctors say, prevent blood clots, allow blood to go, everything. And then what was the second thing? Get it? Number two? Just kidding. Dad joke. So awkward. Okay.
It's okay. It's part of your duty.
Hey. I know it'd been funny if I had like a stool up here so I could sit on the stool. Well, I preached. No, just for out of comfort so I can like, I'm just kidding. Okay, next, I'm going to go on. The next biggest concern of doctors is to get the bowels moving. In our lives. After God has worked in us. And have you ever, you know when God radically moves in your life and you're completely changed? That excitement, that fire that you have, that you just can't get enough of reading the Bible. You can't get enough of worship. You can't. And then what's like the worst thing that could happen? Someone just says something dumb to you. And it's like, you know, and like that, it's almost that fire's taken out a little bit. You know, doctors say that you need to keep exercising and moving so that all toxins will flow out. One of the best things you can do as a Christian is to keep exercising your faith. Because when you stop moving and you allow everything that everyone says to you to permeate and sit in there like toxicity, it really hampers you. Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. Hampers you. Exercising your faith will take all the toxins and the things that people speak over you. Say, no, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep working on VBS because God has a purpose for these kids. I'm going to keep doing this. Well, that's stupid. Well, I'm great you think that, but I'm going to keep doing this because I want to see little kids know Jesus. It allows those things to filter out through your life. But on the flip side, if you sit there and say, and you're working on this and someone's like, why are you wasting your time? This is, I can't believe you're doing that. It's for little kids. Man, you're right. And you allow those toxins just to sit inside of you. Just like in surgery recovery, God wants to remove those, but it's through movement and exercise. Just one is practical and one is illustrative. Amanda Lindhout said, the road to recovery will not always be easy, but I will take it one day at a time, focusing on the moments I've dreamed about for so long. And focus on aspects of dreams. What's something that God has spoken or whispered to you about? Hold on to that. I love how the Bible calls hope as an anchor for our souls. Amen. What's a hope? What's a dream? Matthew Perry said this when dealing with recovery. My favorite six words in recovery are trust God, clean house, and help others. Man, trust in God, clean house, help others. Can we all close our eyes for just a moment? Lord, You are the great physician. You are the great healer. You are the great God of everything. Lord, I pray as we have doctors and surgeons on this earth that help us in the same way that you illustratively help us through our souls. I pray that we take this to heart. Whatever we're going through, whatever we need understanding in, give us understanding. Help us diagnose areas in our life that you want to work on. Then allow us to open up our heart and say, yes, God, work on this aspect. And lastly, Lord, let us to walk forward with that aspect of our life changed forever and never go back. You care for us so much. And not only that, you care for all the others. Just like that dream that Dale had, sitting on a cruise ship, shifting from being comfortable to being on mission. Lord, give us purpose and understanding and let us walk forward in that. God, I pray for divine encounters this week as we walk forward, just to bring life to people that might be hurting. For in grocery stores or workplaces, wherever, just to be that smile that they need that day. Whatever it might be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.